Okay, good evening, everybody. My name is Jay, and I am a recovered alcoholic. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi.
It's always an honor. I want to thank Phil for asking me to come in and do this. I've done it once before a few years back. And I got to tell you, you know, this room, even though I'm not here a lot, I know what the meaning of this room is. And whoever's walking in here tonight for the first time, or have been here multiple times, or whatever your situation is, you know, you're really blessed. You're really blessed to walk into a room that does the deal. And we're going to talk about 1, 2, and 3 tonight. You saw the hands that went up when Phil said, you know, the people that have been through the work and want to carry a message for their own survival, and they were plentiful. So I guess before I even start with my own stuff, I wanted to say that, you know, you're helping us more than we're helping you. If you have not yet decided to do this, that's fine. But don't ever think that you're a burden or that, you know, oh, I'm scared to ask somebody or I don't know what to do. Believe me, you me, we need you more than you need us. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So, and I do want to say that I love what I'm about to do. I have a lot of good time with it because I know I'm a miracle standing here. And I know that I'm blessed to be standing here. If you drank like I drank, and you are a true alcoholic, then you too are a miracle at this moment. Because by all intents and purposes, without the program of recovery, you should be drunk. Left to your own devices, or for me, I'll just keep it for me on my experience that left to my own devices, I was drunk quite a bit. So I'm going to touch on some of these steps. So tonight, 1, 2, and 3, I'm going to talk about my experience with them. If that's your experience, great. If it's not, that's great too. You know, whatever your deal is, your deal is. If you don't believe that you need it and you want to hang on, then hang on. You know, only here to spread a message of hope, and that message is going to be clear for me. Because I'm really passionate about that. The only thing that I will say before I start on that, is every time I come here, I have an injury. last time I was here, I had an injury. See, this is on tape, so I'll keep it clean. Pretty clean. I had a problem with a colonoscopy. So I was in the hospital, and the day of the hospital I came, that was a couple of years ago, before my series that I did here, before that. And when I came here before that to do the series, my spirit wasn't great. And I told you about that. You know, we are on a spiritual journey, and you're going to hear from my heart where I am at the moment. You know, I don't think any of us walk around spiritually successful every minute of every day. So that time when I came in here the first time, I was telling you I was hurting certain things, and it was all left to my own devices, and that's why. So we'll get into that now in a minute. But today, you know, I'm embarked on this diet, which, as you can see, isn't working too well. It's doing okay, but and I started to play basketball again, and I hurt my toe, so I have an injured toe. I'm standing up here battling the pain and fatigue of that, which is a lot worse than I'm making it out to be. It's not really a big deal, but, you know, it's just funny to me. Like, every time I come here, I got to have an ambulance or something with me. But so that aside, I want to talk about a little bit about step one for me. And that was that, you know, some people, I'm not going to tell you, you know, what your experience will be with it or is with it right now. I would only say that, you know, it's really, I believe, my experience and you're having your own experience, and everybody's experience is different. Some people, it's like some people say, step one, you know, that's the one that you got to get right all the time. Or that's the hard one. Or nobody wants to give in to that. Or you have to beat somebody into submission with that. Or you have to, you know, somebody, and that's maybe true, maybe not true. For me, it was true. But I don't want to give somebody that's new here the idea that it has to be the same way for you. You might not have to experience that torture. You may come in here and give yourself to this program right away. You know, unfortunately for me, it was not that way. For many, many years, and for a long, long time, I didn't want to hear anything about this. I wasn't convinced of it, I didn't care about it, and I really didn't even want to stop. So, how could I give myself to something that I believed wouldn't work for me? Because I, of course, was better than you. You know, I was the one who was going to be, I'm going to stop on my own with no help from nobody. I wouldn't even go to a meeting. You know, I started going to my first place in 1985. That's a long time ago. And I came out of there and I said, I'm going to do this. And I made all these plans. You know, I'm going to do it this way this time. And, you know, I won't do this and I won't do that. And in 1987, I was back in another place. In 1991, I went into a long-term program. And then I stopped doing all that. I gave it 3 shots in those type of places. And then I just said, nah, you know, this ain't working for me. And I just went on a tear for another 11 or 12 years without even going to a meeting. And in those years, I suffered a lot. And I suffered a lot of consequences. And I suffered a lot of sadness and guilt and shame. And I suffered a lot of reasons that I should stop. And I knew that I had a problem. And that's the funny thing about this thing is, you know, for me, it's an inside-out job. And what you know means nothing. You know you have to stop. You know the next one is going to lead you to whatever. You know if you pick that drink up, you're probably going to be done. See, a lot of people say, you know, like we'll get into this in a second with step two, but just to go back to that for a minute, you know, step two, like step one is a very simple thing for me, is that I can't today differentiate the truth from the false if I believe, being a real alcoholic, that I'm going to stop when I say so. And how many times, how about you? You have to put yourself in that situation. How many times have you said that? Are you still saying that? Using your own willpower to stop. Giving any reason, you know, saying to yourself, I have to go to work so I won't drink. I have to go to this place, I won't drink. My mother needs me, I won't drink. My kid needs me, whatever the reason is. I am on parole, probation. You know, I can name a million different things of the reason I'm going to stop. And for me, I found that all to be shallow. There was no reason, because I was incapable of doing it. And as much as I wanted to, and that's the other one, you know. I got to tell you, that's one of my new favorites. I hear sometimes, and kind of gets me a little annoyed, but that's okay. I'm a lot different today than I was 6 years ago. I don't get annoyed as fast or as much. Don't throw my book as far that I used to. So, have you ever heard this one? He or she doesn't want it bad enough. Oh, yeah. They don't want it. That's why they don't do it. That's my favorite. That's my new favorite. If they only wanted it bad enough. And I've really come to the passion of my wants and desires mean nothing. And if you're a real alcoholic, they don't mean anything for you either, most probably. Think back. How many times have you wanted it from the bottom of your heart and you meant it? You came home after another escapade and you were laying there or sleeping there or throwing up there or on the floor there or whatever it was, and you laid there and you swore that you were done. That's it. I can't do this anymore. You walked outside and said, where's my car? You might have even walked into your house and said, whose house is this? I won't get into, you know, what or who you might have woken up next to. To have no recollection of how you landed there. And don't understand anything else but, I want to stop. I'm done. And the illusion that we're under, and unfortunate is that the drink problem centers in the mind, I've learned. And I can't, my sick mind can't cure my own mind. And I've had that revelation from the inside out. It's not from the outside in. Self-knowledge, I really believe this strongly. I hear some of this stuff today. And, you know, everybody floats their own boat any way they want to. You know, they ask me to do step one. They say, are you powerless over? Yeah, I'm powerless. I can tell you I'm powerless all day long. It doesn't matter when I walk past the barn, I start doing the twist. And I want to go in there and I don't want to go in. I want to go in and I don't want to go in. You know, it's the fight of the brain. And this is the fight that I believe has to be removed, and unfortunately, me personally, I can't remove it. So, you know, I think it's like a stunning revelation, and for, like I said at the beginning when I was talking, that, you know, some people, it happens easily, and some people it doesn't. I won't put a label on it. I used to, but it's a tough, you know. You know, the book bangs you over the head for 4 chapters, and it really, it really bangs you good. Because I believe it's top-heavy in step one for a reason. It's not an easy thing for some people to accept complete defeat. To say that, I can't do this. I'm left to my own devices. I'm going to drink. Sometimes it's not easy. You know, sometimes it really takes a massive beating. I hope it doesn't for you. It doesn't have to. You know, if you want to give yourself to a simple suggestion and have this much willingness, because I ask you to challenge yourself, how's it working for you? Even in sobriety, how's it working for you? I mean, right now, what's your life like? You know, do you have a spiritual set of tools? Do you have a way to get out of situations? Do you have a way of using certain things? Because step one goes deep. It's not about drinking only. It's also about life circumstances. And I utilize my prayer, I utilize my meditation, and I utilize my higher power for all my problems. Because I'm powerless over a lot of stuff. I put in an application for a job, I do the best that I can if I need it. I'm just giving you an example. You know, a lot of people obsess over certain types of things that they're going to force it, that they're going to change it. I'm going to put this application in and then I'm going to worry for the next week till I get a call back. I'm going to sit there and make it happen. I'm going to do it. See, you know, I heard this just last night for somebody who's in a little bit of trouble right now and called me up telling me that how much they're going out. Why are they going out? Nobody wants me. I went to all the sites to get a date. Nobody wants me. I went over here. Nobody wants me. I'm this, I'm that. And you know why they're like that? And I'll tell you, they're relying on their own power. That's really a fact for me today from that. I hear it loud and clear through the phone. You know, they're relying on their own. Who are they to put anything past a power greater than ourselves? For them to say, nobody's ever going to want me because of this fact of my life. Nobody wants me. So I'm going to drink. So what can I say? Please don't. I try to be a human being in this situation, and I try to say, you know, I love you. You're my friend for a long time, and he is, but at the end of the day, I'm powerless over his action. And the only thing I can do is make a suggestion. And that is, ask another girl. Yes? Because I'm powerless over the answer, see? I put in an effort, and whatever comes back, comes back. Why are you limiting yourself to, oh, woe is me? And that's because of spiritual sickness, I believe. It's because, you know, they're not relying on the right power. So we can analogize that for the same thing for drinking alcohol. When is it going to be enough? When are you going to come around to the fact that you left to you is doom? When are you going to come to the fact? How many times are you going to be beaten into submission? You know, I don't know. That's going to be up to you. I know it's much easier to do this than it is to do, you know, the step two, which I'm going to get into now. But it's much easier for me to say, you know what? Okay, I'm powerless over alcohol, that my life is unmanageable. Yes. Am I willing to even take a look at that and say, okay, right now, my way's not working, I'm willing. Let me see what it's about. This first step experience is something that I will tell you is a revolutionary occurrence, especially for the one who's still suffering, inside or outside these rooms. It took me a while to understand that me, I can't stop on my own. Me, the great me. And that's why I want to get into step two. I want to get into that. But step one in synopsis for me is just very simple. It came after a long time. It came after many, many tries of not doing this stuff. It came to me. I mean, I can only tell you about me. I don't know about you, so I'll say again. For me, it came and it took a lot to get me to that point. Doesn't have to take you to get that much. I want to keep emphasizing that. I never used to say that. I used to say, you have to be beat. You have to do that. You have to have been this far down in order for you to get that. And that's not really true, I don't think, anymore. So my experience is I drank for 20 some odd years before I came to that situation. Please don't do that. I'm not recommending that to you. You're in this room, so we suffered for you. So you don't have to go through that if you want to keep an open mind. Because then we go into step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore me to sanity. Now this is one I have a lot of fun with. You know, a lot of times when people will say to me, you know, see, there's two ways of insanity for me. It's not after I pick up the drink. Forget about that. When you pick up the drink and you walk down the street like this and you walk through traffic or you sell your car or you do whatever you do or, you know, all the things that you're going to do after you pick up the drink, it's already too late. That's normalcy for a drunk, no? Normalcy for a drunk is what? You know, the bar's closed, you're still laying on the floor. You know, you don't go to work, that's insane. It's normal. I'm not stumbling to work. Hey! That's my experience. I don't go to work. See? Go to work. Let me ask, you know, the thing about the step is that I've come to believe, and I really do really have a really good time with it. You know, it's not only trying, you know, a lot of times you hear, well, you know, the insanity part of it is you think you're just going to drink two. Right? Just going to have two this time. I'm going to go, and millions of other times before that, you know that it didn't work. But now, this time, 20 years later, it's going to be different, and you're going to not drink till you're dead or whatever it is, till you have no money or nothing left, or you know what I'm talking about. You're going to stop when you say so. That's one form of insanity. Before you pick the drink up, when the mind is telling you that, you are insane. And the other form is like I had 6 years ago. I didn't even say two. I said, screw it. I don't care. I know I'm done. I know I'm going to lose it all, and I did it anyway. How deep and how dark it is in that place when you know in your heart that you're going to be done for and you still drink? Where is your willpower there? If I didn't want to lose it, why would I want to lose everything? It's insane. But still we do it because we have no defense. Going back to step one. There's no defense against that thought that I'm going to lose everything because I don't really care at that point. I'm so spiritually sick. I'm so dark inside. Things are so bad on the outside world that I'm going to tear it all down with another debacle, which will make the things that are bad right now Even better? Yes, things get bad. Yes, things get dark. Yes, life goes on. This is life. We deal with it with the tools that we're given. If you don't have the tools, God bless you. Good luck. Good luck when those dark times come. Good luck when the insanity hits you. See, that's where we need to do. For me, for step one, we have to at least make that omission, admission, whatever, that I'm powerless. Okay, what do I do? Show me. Somebody guide me to a spiritual awakening, to a place that I can understand what tool that I have. So then step two, you know, because everybody says, oh, you're insane when you do drive, you know, God forgive me, you know, when people drive drunk, you know, it's very, very, technically it's insane, right? But that's not the real insanity. The real insanity is picking that drink up in the first place. After building it all up, being a drunk for many, many years, and then this time it's going to be different, or I don't care if it's going to be different. And then ending up behind the wheel of a car after everything that you've seen in the papers, all the stuff that you know about, all that stuff, you go behind a wheel of a car. Because those things don't matter anymore once we start drinking. All those consequences, oh, listen, I better not drink today because my wife will yell at me. Or my job will get mad at me. Or my husband will yell at me on the other circumstance. Or if there's another circumstance, God bless you. Whatever that circumstance is. You know what I mean. To me, that's the insanity. It's not after the drink. After the drink, that's it. Whatever you do after that, that's what people do. Now, people do different things. Some drunks do this, some drunks do that. You know, most drunks pass out. But that's not the point. Think to yourself, have you done that? Have you said it? It's just two? Just one? Oh, how, you know, I'll switch. You know what's that? You know what it is? I'm drinking the wrong thing. That's what it is. I'll have some wine instead of the hard stuff. I'll just drink beer. Or maybe I should get more expensive liquor that tastes better. Or whatever the excuse that you might make in your mind, that's not going to get you to a place of destruction. See, when I drink, I don't stop. Do you stop? When you say so? No matter what the consequence, circumstance, or reason? Can you do that on your own? All the time? I did that once. Yeah, 25 years I'm drinking. One time I did that. I went home. And that's the one time we'll point to. The book talks about it, no? Very few people, you know, in a rare case. So I've had sponsees say to me, see, in a rare case, that's me. And I said, I've heard your story. No, it's not. That's not you. Don't try to be Jim. Okay? Don't try it. Because Jim was a rare case, no? An exceptional man he was. That's what it says. Exceptional man. I'm not going to drink. Put his slippers on, you know, blah, blah, blah. Dead in 4 years. And didn't drink for 25 years. Because he said so. But he had what? A reservation. I'm going to drink once my business career. Don't try it. Most probably it won't work. Maybe it will. I don't know. If it does, report to the group. Lynn Brook would probably throw you right out of here. Anyway. So we've covered my experience on the first two. I really love, you know, the point of, look, take a look at my own situation. You know, am I willing to understand that I'm admitting that I'm powerless over this drink? And can I take a look at it through the eyes of a person who's been through it, and they can guide me through it, and they can show me, do I have a willingness and an open mind to even consider the thought that I am not the great one, and I am not going to change the definition of a real alcoholic. That's what we're trying to do all the time, you know. Me, I'm a real alcoholic, but I don't need this. And if you sip a little and go home, then this ain't for you. Yes? If you there's a difference. In the book it said there's a difference between us and them. I am not them, they are not me. They may become me, I can't become them. That's a very simple analogy, which is, it works for me. We always try to become them, though, right? We always want to become them. You know, the Tito, they sip a little wine and then they go home. And you see that and you say, after all these years, you know, listen, I got a new job. I said, don't look too bad. Let me try that. At that moment, you are what I commonly call a dumb person talking to an idiot. So hit your knees right away if you have that capability and get that removed. Because that's not going to happen. So, after we've come to these revelations, then we go to step three, which is a situation where pretty soon we're going to start writing. We've admitted we were powerless over alcohol. We've had a first step experience. You see, you can't run right to three without having these two, in my opinion. You can't run right to it. Because this first step experience is something that's from the inside out. And, you know, you've been through a little bit of the book to have this experience. So we're having these experiences to understand this. Then we go to this, and we make this decision to turn our life and our will over to the care of God as we best understand it. Now, I don't know how you're going to understand it at this point. It depends. Everybody's different. Some people right away, some people we got to keep going forward. We got to put one step in front of the other. We got to let it happen. Some people it happens later, some people it happens right away. But are you willing to do it? And that's the really passionate thing I want to talk about, that step. It's about, when is it going to happen for me? Have you heard that before? I want it now. Now, right now. You guys are these spiritual giants, are always talking about this stuff. And how come I'm already, you know, through the book a lot and I don't feel nothing? So my answer back to that is, have you drank today? To some of my sponsees, I say, you know, it could happen for you now, it could happen for you later. You might not even know it's happening. Somebody else will tell you it happened. Somebody else will say to you, you sound different, you look different. You know, when's the last time you thought about a drink? You say to yourself, I said that to myself in very early recovery. I said, in one day, did anybody ever have that experience? You know, you used to be a trigger, people, places, and things kind of a person. You know, you used to be that type of a person, right? And if I stay away from there, I won't do all that kind of stuff. But one day, I can say to myself, gosh, you know, 9 months, I've seen liquor on TV. I've seen bars in the street. I've seen stuff going on. I mean, I've been to ball games. I mean, for God's sakes, there's a lot of beer there. And never once did it come into my mind to have a drink. So I proposed the question, do you think you did that? Remember that. Something's changed. Something's different. And don't try to figure it out, because you'll never be able to. It's a beautiful feeling to walk free. And we'll get into that in the upcoming steps. It's a beautiful film. This is not about hiding. This is about making a decision to turn our will over to the life and care of God as we best understand them. And that's how you understand them. Not how I understand them. Not how the group understands them. Not how your mother or father understand them. But the best way that you understand. And right now, it's okay to understand as much or as little as you do. I just beg you to keep moving forward. Keep going forward. And let the miracle take place.